On Tabletop have teamed up with Games Workshop, Cyanide Studio, and Focus Home Interactive to bring you the very exciting Space Hulk Tactics Hobby Challenge. All you have to do is come across to ontabletop.com, create a project, anything related to Space Hulk. It could be a story, painting project, or whatever you can imagine. And you could be in with a chance of winning the great Space Hulk Tactics video game and an actual copy of Space Hulk 3rd Edition. We have a load of prizes, a load of categories. Come across and check it out.
Good morning and welcome to another Weekender.
It's nice to be back in the studios again. Right, last week we asked you about Kill Team Commanders. Is it a mistake or is it a marvel? You answered that and we've put the Kill Team cat on the job. So stay tuned for that. Also, very shortly, we're putting a gameplay video out for this. This is Speed Freaks. If you've ever liked orcs, you'll love this. If you ever liked racing, you'll love this. If you ever liked just bashing your big knobs together, you're gonna love this. And we're giving this away this week. So to be in with a chance, remember, all you have to do is comment, hit the like, hit subscribe, and ding my dong. That's that little bell beside the subscribe button. Because otherwise, YouTube just does not want to send any wargaming content your way. They are crucifying us these days. So any help you could give us would be great. And if you didn't mind giving it a little share, it always helps to spread the love. Right, let's get stuck in.
Welcome to the Weekender, guys, your weekly guide to everything that is happening in the world of tabletop gaming. This morning, I'm Warren, as I am most mornings, and I'm joined by Ben on the screen, Justin in the chair, and Sam in the chair.
Hey.
Right, very quick announcement. Next week, we are bringing you live coverage all weekend from Essen. We'll be running a live blog, and the guys will be running around Essen in partnership with Mythic Games, who are hosting us. So thank you to the guys at Mythic Games.
And AEG have also helped
us out. And AEG are helping us out as well. So thank you to all of our partners who are helping us out. We'll be bringing you the best and the latest from Essen. If you're interested in some of the stuff that's going on there, Ben has an article up at the moment. It's called 10 Things to Watch, or 10 Games to Watch, at Essen Spiel 2018. So if you're interested in some of the stuff that's coming up and some of the new releases that are going to be unlocked at Essen, go and check that article out.
Yeah, lots cool there that have caught my eye.
Okay. Last week we set you the challenge. We had a discussion. It was an amazing discussion, actually, about Kill Team Commanders, because, Justin, I, by the end of it, you had pretty much changed my mind.
It does do happen.
So, Ben, I don't believe you had your mind changed, but I certainly didn't know which side of the coin I fell on. We were asking the question, of course. Kill Team Commanders was introducing named commanders with a higher points cost and stuff. Mm-hmm. A marvel for the game of Kill Team, or a mistake for the game of Kill Team. Now, some people said, you know, you guys are talking about Kill Team as if it's been around for a long time. You know, it's only new out. I suppose I need to reiterate, you know, that this is, for me, is not the first time that Kill Team has come along. Yes, it is. It is. Kill Team is new, but to me, it's kind of a new old. So sometimes whenever I'm talking about Kill Team, it may seem like I'm talking about something that has been around for a very long time. Kill Team has in many ways been around for a very long time, but this new iteration is very new. Mm-hmm. So I've got to say, I was watching the comments very, very closely. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I was surprised. Okay. Because I thought that the comments were overwhelmingly in support of the marvel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay? I think so too. Yeah.
But let's see what the Kill Team cat had to say.
We sent it scurrying among the comments.
So we sent the cat in, and this is the Kill Team cat. Ooh. So this is our, the cat has took a look at the comments.
Yeah.
And I was actually surprised because marvel and mistake were pretty close.
Yeah.
Now, in saying that, There was about 20% difference. There was about, well, actually, maybe a bit less. There wasn't an awful lot of difference between the two. It probably was about 10% of difference, which surprised me. Then it was a surprise upon the surprise of which I had initially had, because I thought Marvel had overwhelmingly taken it. Marvel did take it, but I was surprised by how close a mistake was. Yeah. So it's not an even split, but you know, there's a lot of people thinking in terms, similar terms to what we were.
There is a large core of Marvel sitting at the heart of the Kill Team Cat right there.
There absolutely is. Can we say that the Kill Team Cat is now part of the Marvel Universe?
No.
So some of the stuff
that is now.
Some of the things that came out. So Ben, okay, you were defeated. Okay, everybody completely disagreed with you. They all love it. However, some people that said mistake didn't say mistake for the same reasons that me and you would have. They said it's a mistake for the moment. That was one of the overriding things that came back, was that they were happy enough to start exploring the commanders and things like that, but they wanted to see it a bit further down the line.
Right. What would they have explored before that?
Well, there were still tons of things that they could have explored. Yeah. They could have more narrative campaigns. Like, we were talking about what other things could the design team have pulled forward in the release schedule to have delayed the introduction of commanders.
Some of the factions still haven't got their Kill Team starter
sets. Yeah, some factions don't have Kill Team starter sets.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know. It's there could have been more narrative options brought through. I don't know. The more I thought about it, the more I thought, do you know what? Yeah, it's the right product. It's a good time. Mm-hmm. You know, and people seem to be genuinely excited by the prospect of exploring the narrative of what those characters bring.
Just give me death gestures. That's all I ask.
I'm sure it'll happen someday. So don't worry.
It's in there.
So, thank you very much for everybody that got involved. Do we have an overriding question for everybody this week?
What?
I'm looking at Sam. This was your job. Let me zoom in on this face. Every week you're to come up with a question that people must answer. What is their question this week, Sam?
I have a question.
Do you actually have one? Yeah.
How do we make an orc go faster?
Oh God, he does have one! He totally got me. I thought I had you. So this week's question is: how do you make an orc go faster? And may I just say? Yeah. The dirtier the answer, the better.
Do you know what? Yeah, can you make your knobs go really fast?
Do you know what? For this week and this week only, forget about the fact that YouTube are suppressing us at every opportunity. Let's just go for it. The channel. We don't care about the channel. We want to know how you make your orcs go faster.
I have an answer for that.
We got Speed Freaks.
Yeah.
Right? Was there any knobs in the box, or was there only knobs playing it?
Oh, no. There were two knobs in the box.
Awesome. Yeah. Did you touch them?
Oh, yeah. We hang on.
There were a pair of big knobs in the box. Get it out your system,
one. Yeah. Oh, no. Wait till you see what Colin has done. Wait till you see what he has done.
Okay. Perfect.
He's made a knob montage.
Well, Speed Freaks is now available for order. Okay. Yes. Later today, we have a let's play. We're doing a playthrough of Speed 3.
Yep.
Speed Freaks. Yourself and Jerry.
Yeah.
Are getting in. Did you use your orc voices?
Not really. But in
you got to use a proper orc-y voice.
Exactly, dude.
But in answer to your question, I would say put the burners in the back, but you might need a pain boy for that.
But I am looking forward to actually getting a game of this. But
it is fun.
Is it fun?
It is very, very fun. The mechanics are really easy to pick up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to give away details or anything like that. But
You can give away some. Yeah,
let's play is going out today.
Yes, but are we not still
the box is not here.
The box is not here.
So just be careful. Don't give away too much. Right. But come on, you can tell us a little bit.
For pick up and play factor, you will have this up and running. You'll maybe have a couple of hours building and maybe about 30 minutes and you're ready to game. You know, it is super simple to pick up.
Yeah.
The one piece of advice I will give you is don't be scared to get stuck in. Whenever you're, don't just focus on going fast. Get stuck in, fight, ram into each other.
So there's combat rounding. Oh, yeah. It's all in there.
You've got shooting, you've got fighting, and you can go head to head with your knobs.
Yeah. Oh!
Result!
GW, I've totally nailed this.
I think he turned into a witch there.
So you and Jerry, so this let's play that people are going to see later on, it basically consists of you and Jerry getting your knobs out.
Yeah.
And did you bash them into each other?
We bashed the big ones together, but not the little ones.
Not the little ones.
No,
but you
just
did
the big
bash
ones.
The big ones together.
Yeah, the big ones got bashed together.
I am in heaven today.
Keep it together, Ben.
I am in heaven today. So let me ask you some quick fire questions then.
Go.
Scale of 1 to 10, what did you think of the models?
Models, 10 out of 10. Absolutely
10 out of 10?
Gorgeous.
Yeah. It plays on a board. Were you happy with the board?
That would be about an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
Yeah.
So as you looked at the board and you immediately thought what I thought, I want to build terrain to make this happen on.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would it work with home-built terrain in the game?
Absolutely. It's all done on measuring tape.
Yep.
So you don't really have to worry about squares on boards or anything like that. You could build yourself some great orky death arenas.
That's something I would love to see. I really want to see people come out with proper orc racetracks.
Yeah.
Showing just the scraps of burnt out machines lying everywhere, the stands full of screens.
Do they go around corners?
Yes.
Yes.
I can't really give this away because this gets into some of the mechanics of how things move. So the movement within the game
is dice done allocation,
very, it's very clever. It's not exactly dice allocation.
Yeah.
There is some of that, but the way it works is very, very orky, and you will see why.
Well, I suppose the question I'm getting to, right, is if I built a 24-foot-long track of orc canyon and scrap heaps.
They wouldn't survive past the first
Could we do 24 foot of racing with them?
Not if I was playing.
Skipping through the canyon and stuff like
because
that.
Because the stuff, it does take damage, but it doesn't die in like one hit. You're going to be slamming and ramming into each other a lot.
How many players do you think it'll scale to?
So currently it's designed that you can go up to 4.
Yep.
But I would say you could quite happily, if you build like a huge gaming table for this, you could go 6-7 people easy.
Jerry had a great idea for a fun conversion because there are rules for the different orc tribes you can take. And one of the orc tribes is supposed to be traditionalist. They wouldn't use any of the fancy tech that the orc mechs make. Mm-hmm. But the Jerry didn't like that they're using actual vehicles still in this version.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up with an idea of one that would have maybe a wagon pulled by two squigs, pod racer style.
Ooh. Oh!
That could look
interesting. Could totally work. That could totally work.
See how fun that would be, just one orc pilot on in the back in a carriage mounted on maybe a single wheel, desperately holding on to two rabid squigs.
I don't know, I'd do it big and I'd put a squig catapult on the back.
Mm-hmm.
There is one of the new orc vehicles that's coming out that is focused on a squig launcher.
Yeah.
I think we actually got to see some of the other new orc vehicles that are coming
out. Let's get a look at
them. After the boxed game itself.
So Ben, what can you tell us about these, mate?
So they're going to be doing a whole bunch of extra vehicles and stuff that you'll see coming out for the orcs, because obviously it's October at the moment.
Yeah.
And obviously they're getting the new codex and all that kind of thing. Well, so as well as all the stuff you saw in the Speed Freaks box, where you've actually got two exclusive vehicles, I do believe, they're actually going to be doing a whole bunch of stuff that can be added onto this. As Sam was saying, there's a whole bunch of new and interesting ways for you to use the weaponry and things. One of the interesting things about the sort of design of these that a lot of people have been talking about is that a lot of people actually don't quite like this slightly more rounded look to the orcs now.
Yeah.
And I didn't even notice it until someone pointed out in the comments, actually, that all the vehicles had a little bit more of like a more like purpose-built nature to them. Because I'm very much used to those kind of old-style orc vehicles where most of them were looted in the first place anyway.
Yes, yeah.
They all had like big, huge, jagged parts sticking out of it from armor plating and things like that. But I'm actually quite enjoying the way they're doing all the new stuff for the orcs. Hopefully they continue to do a lot more of this going forward as well. It would be really nice to see them actually work on some new boys. That could be kind of cool, sort of breaking away from the kind of traditional stuff that we've seen already. But in terms of the vehicles, they look fun. They look interesting. They look like they're going to be really good to paint as well. I love the like inventive way that they're working with weapons as well, which is really cool. And yes, hopefully they'll be included in things like Speed Freaks and you can use them in there as well, which would be cool.
Yeah. Well, Justin, I suppose one of the questions I have to ask here is, we're dealing with orcs. It's the ultimate bashing faction in the whole shebang.
Yeah.
You know, do you think it would be easy enough for us as a community to kit bash together our own vehicles and point them up or work them into the game?
Yeah, I'd say you could probably homebrew a couple of orc vehicles. It's
So there's some, you know, in your mind, there's some capacity for that anyway.
I mean,
yeah?
The actual stats and stuff within the game are pretty straightforward. You know, there's nothing overly snazzy in there.
Yeah.
You know, although I love the vehicles that Games Workshop are designing for this.
Yeah.
You know, I think if I quickly scroll up, my favorite one has to be the Boomdaka Snazwagon.
Yeah, the Boomdaka Snazwagon caught my eye.
I particularly like the orc hanging out the side of it with a petrol bomb.
Yeah. no, I like the Gretchen on the front. Yeah. The Gretchen on the front.
Oh, the Gretchen's very good too.
They've remade Mad Max Fury Road, but in orc style.
Yeah, and the scrap jet's quite cool as well. I love the way they've actually got the orc like wearing a sheepskin jacket.
Yes.
I see that, and all I can think of is catch the pigeon. Catch the pigeon.
Absolutely. So where would you like to see it head? It strikes me as a kind of a game that any club would probably want to pick this up, and have a club night of orc racing. It's not going to be a hobby in itself, but it's not designed to be a hobby in itself. But any orc player is going to want this just so as he can wheel out some of his own wagons and things and have a bit of fun with.
Yeah.
It seems an obvious choice for clubs to get, Justin.
Honestly, yeah, because I mean, like, for me, I want to see people do like narrative campaigns of this, do like a Grand Prix or an F1 season.
I never thought of that.
That wouldn't be cool.
There are rules for a campaign in the book, I believe.
Okay.
Can you imagine, right? Can you imagine? I talked about the big long kind of canyon board, okay? But then you could do a version of Monaco taking place in a ruined Imperium city.
Yep.
Monorco.
Yeah. But you could do like an escape run from an Ekron tomb world.
Oh.
So they all start from like the middle of a big black pyramid and they're trying to get away to a spaceport.
Dude, you could even do the internals of a Space Hulk, which would remind me of Dave Lister riding around on his trike inside Red Dwarf.
All I can think of, I think I must be the only person in the world who ever played this game. Have any of you ever came across Brutal Legend?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was crap.
I loved that game. It's become one of my happy place games. But there is a scene in it where you're just driving in his souped-up hot rod while escaping from a collapsing building while through the fire and the flames by Dragon Force is playing. I want that moment in this.
Well, that'll be the next thing. Is we'll have to, as a community, decide a playlist for Speed Freaks.
Oh yeah.
Please, in the comments below, as well as how orc knobs go faster, what is your playlist? Link in below all of your tracks that are perfect for Speed Freaks.
In the cold winter
this
morning,
is going to be the best
the time before the night
comment section in the whole of YouTube history.
If I have to pick my song for Speed Freaks, Five Finger Death Punch, Jekyll and Hyde.
Okay, I think I'm going to pick Give Me Fuel, Give Me Fire, Give Me That Which I Desire. I think a bit of Metallica in there will do well. Or we could get Phantom of the Opera and I could let Sam listen to a really good cover. Thank you for everyone that pointed out it was actually on Iron Maiden, Iron Maiden, not Iron Maiden Killers. That was my mistake.
No. Megadeth, High Speed Dirt.
Yep. Anthrax, Caught in a Mosh. put them below. Right, so that is Speed Freaks. Remember, we are giving away a copy of Speed Freaks this weekend. So your comments below for your soundtrack to Speed Freaks and how you make your knobs go faster will all go in to a random pool and we will pick one winner. So remember, post your comments below. To make up for the fact that your comments are going to destroy the channel completely, remember to hit subscribe, hit like, and ding my dong, that's the little kind of bell beside the YouTube thing. And thank you to all the members who have said that they have dung my dong repeatedly, and YouTube still doesn't want to deliver our content to them. Dudes, this is what we're up against. Yeah. You know, just remember to check in every weekend.
I do have one challenge for everybody for this.
Yes.
So you've asked about the future of it. What I would love to see as well, what would people bodge together?
Put your mouth into the mic.
it's been pointing at your neck.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would people bodge together to bring other 40K races into Speed Freaks?
Now, I there is one I'd actually like to point out, because I was recently looking through some of the pictures for Army on Parade that was done.
Yeah.
And there was one that was an orc army, but the one that stood out for me was they'd looted an Eldar grav tank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it had been orcified orcified, and they'd obviously just I think like the entire cockpit bit on the top had been replaced with a giant engine to try and keep it airborne. I loved it.
What about skimmers and flyers and things like that there?
I haven't seen rules for that yet, see them being brought
could
in.
Could you imagine it working in there?
Yeah,
kind of?
I mean, like there's some of the little, like Tau Scout vehicles that would be perfect for it. Land speeders would be perfect for it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I can imagine someone grabbing like some Imperial kit.
Yeah.
You know, for, I think it's the Tyrox. Mm. Get that thing, convert it so it just looks like a big overland dragster.
Yeah. Well, guys, there you have it. Get your comments in. We're going to be giving one of you a copy of Speed Freaks, and believe me, you want a copy of Speed Freaks. It's great. Right. Next up, we have been running, and we will be continuing to running right up until the end of November, the Space Hulk Tactics Hobby Challenge. Mm-hmm. Okay. And basically, it was a challenge to go out to you guys to create Space Hulk related projects, and those projects could be anything: painting, modeling, story writing, mission writing, just whatever you can think of, so long as you can loosely relate it to Space Hulk. So if you want to paint up some Terminators and put them in there, I particularly have a love of Terminators. I still think Terminators rule.
Which version?
Come across,
the old ones or the new ones?
I like the second edition, the second version of the Terminators. The old ones are great, but
they're a little bit.
Yeah. But the Terminators, the second
generation
of Terminators are just awesome. Mm-hmm. We decided we'd pick out a couple of projects just to show you some of the stuff that people have been working on. So Ben, we set you the task of picking out a few projects to show off. Who's first?
So the first project we're going to be looking at is from Dr. Totenkoffen, who has actually been doing something quite interesting with his Terminators. So with this one in particular, he's actually looking at some of the ways that he's going to bring Terminators into Space Hulk, but he wanted to also address one of the problems that's come up in terms of scaling. Now, one of the big things is that obviously Primaris Space Marines now are a lot taller than pretty much normal Space Marines.
Yes.
And in some cases, Terminators, which doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So he's been working on sort of bodging and sort of bashing with his Terminators to try and make them look a little bit taller. Mm-hmm. And as you can see, he's been getting stuck into that here, building up some of his different Terminators. You can see some of the the tools he's been using and the techniques as well, sawing up a lot of the bodies and sort of going back into it with green stuff to try and make them fit a little bit differently as well. Ooh. And as you get towards the bottom, you'll see that they're a little bit taller than the Primaris now, a little bit taller than normal Terminators too. So it's a little tiny tweak. But hopefully it's going to turn into a really interesting sort of Terminator squad at the very end of it as well. I believe he's going to be taking the Howling Griffins into a Space Hulk, which is very, very cool indeed. And it's just an interesting thing showing someone who's not only getting to the painting and building of Terminators, but also trying something with the scaling of it as well.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah. I love the fact that he's showing all of the different tools that he's using.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so that's getting skill from me, tutoring from me, and a great idea.
Not a problem. So the way the challenge is working is there's a combination of we'll tally the results of the community by you hitting those nomination buttons for people. So even if you're not participating, take a look through the projects and hit the nomination buttons there. Then we're also going to have an internal judging panel as well. So the combination of the two will be picking the winners. We have a number of categories. So we have a winner and a runner-up for best idea, a winner and a runner-up for best execution, so the best skill, and a winner and runner-up for best tutorial. And then finally, we're going to be picking a kind of like a grand prize winner. Mm-hmm. And the grand prize winner is going to win not only the video game and some signed art, but he's actually going to win a copy of Space Hulk, the third edition of the board game, which we have been carefully tucking away now for a number of years, and it's sitting here hoarding. And we thought, no, we want to give that away to whoever's whoever's doing it. I also want to up the ante a little bit.
Ooh. Oh.
Because what we have done as well is we have commissioned Thomas Menes, our master modeler, create a Space Hulk Tactics diorama. Okay, so he will be building and painting a diorama. He will be putting this into the project log, and the overall winner is going to win that diorama as well.
Cool. That's
fantastic.
Very cool.
Amazing.
Okay. So this this diorama, I don't want to steal Thomas's the thunder. He's off getting all of the bits and pieces as we speak.
Very cool.
But yeah, it's going to be flipping epic. I'm looking forward to this. No pressure, Thomas. So yeah, we thought we'd up the ante on that one, and I cannot wait. We'll bring you over the next few weeks, we'll bring you updates on Thomas's work, so as you can see what he's at. But he's one of the greatest conversion experts on the face of the planet.
His work is superb.
We've seen some of the crazy stuff.
If you want to see what Menes is capable, come on in. And I think in backstage we have a series called Menes Minis Mashups.
Mm-hmm. Say that three times. World
Menes Minis Mashups. Menes
You're
Minis
not
Mashups.
Drunk.
Where he does, he takes you through step by step the conversion processes and things like that. So there's a good reason to join backstage, other than to help us actually be here next week and the week after. So it's I'm really looking forward to that. We have another couple of ones. We have Wilco92 is doing something with the 3D printers.
Yeah, so Wilco92 has started up a project showing off what he's been doing. As you say, he's been looking into 3D printing, and he was saying that he doesn't have a lot of time and money to sort of drop into this competition, but he's going to try his best with the kind of materials that he's got at the moment.
Yeah.
So he's been doing a lot of stuff with some really nice 3D printed pieces of terrain that he's been using to create a little bit of a Space Hulk diorama, and he's going to be showing a particularly dangerous Tyranid, one of the Lictors. I think they're called Lictors, aren't they?
Yeah,
sort of crawling its way through one of the bulkheads on a Space Hulk, about to hunt down a different Terminator. So it's something a little bit interesting, going for a diorama, doing something a little bit more sort of like in the moment, which I thought was really cool. And someone using some new techniques, doing something interesting on the whole sort of 3D printing front is good to see, as well as the more traditional methods that we saw, obviously, with the one before, where it's, you know, getting out the tools and doing stuff with plastic and green stuff, which is neat. So
fantastic.
Really dig it.
Fantastic. So as well as that, we also have John. Mm-hmm. And John is running both a project log and some backstage videos, where John is actually creating a three-dimensional Space Hulk board.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what he's doing is he's basing it on the set. There's a laser-cut set from a small business called BP Laser. So if you go and check him out, we'll have links in the show notes. And what he's doing is he's building all that up, and then he's going to go through a process of super detailing and getting it all painted up. So if you're interested in following along with that, he is running a public project log of it, but he's also doing some backstage vlogs where he's talking about the individual bits and pieces that he's doing. So that's reason number three to join backstage this week.
John has been steadily disappearing among a series of corridor sections that are building up around his desk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm really excited to see how it turns out. And then the final one we want to show you today is Amachan, and Amachan is working some Deathwing.
Yeah, so one of the favorites of yours
Deathwing.
Here.
Deathwing were my first ever army. So very it was cool. They were the first ever army I had. Was I built a Deathwing army, and man, am I tempted to go back to it sometime.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. But yeah, so Amachan, also known as Amanda on the site, has been putting together this really fantastic looking project. She's starting off with a squad of Deathwing Terminators. She's going to be taking into a Space Hulk. You can see them there in their undercoated state as well. Yeah. But she's actually finished off the first of her models, which is the captain for the set, as you can see at the top there, with his power sword gleaming and that really nice bone armor that we've obviously come to know and love from the Deathwing Terminators. Amanda does a whole bunch of different projects on the website. I think she probably owns more projects than anybody else, I think. It's been really fun to see her getting involved in this challenge as well, which is really cool. She always brings something new to the table, which is really fantastic to see too. And hopefully it'll be a little bit of inspiration because she's already got one of the models painted. So get stuck in and do that. Do the same for yourself as well. Whether or not you're doing Deathwing Terminators or Blood Angels or something different too. It's been really nice to see what they've been doing in the video games as well, running up to it from the guys there as well. They've been adding things like Space Wolves into their games as well. So every chapter is open to going into Space Hulk to hunt down Tyrion, basically.
And this is it. You know, we want you guys to understand that you know, don't feel constrained about entering this challenge. You know, this is just about you getting some hobby done and having it some way linked to Space Hulk. Yeah. If the link is loose, well, so be it. But get stuck in there, open up a project, and just encourage yourself to get stuck into it. It's an opportunity to do something that either you've been waiting on doing, or maybe have never thought of doing before, or maybe just something you just need to do.
Yeah, and one of the other big things about this as well is that we didn't just limit this to modeling potential.
Nope.
So as well as doing things like dioramas and painting and terrain challenges, we're also inviting people who want to write things or want to film something. That could be kind of cool as
Make a Space Hulk audioscape.
Something like that would be really awesome too. And we've seen a couple of people doing that kind of thing in the project system so far. They're not overly fleshed out just yet, but once people start to develop their stories a bit more, that could be really fascinating to follow on. I actually, back in the mists of time when I used to write fan fiction, I even did myself a little Space Hulk sort of short story. Maybe I'll go and find it and post it up somewhere.
I think I did one as well. Yeah. Warhammer fan fiction was how I got my start in writing. I'm fairly certain I wrote a Space Hulk one.
Awesome. Right. Well, as well as the Space Hulk, and while we're on the subject of the project system, it's time to give away some of our golden buttons. This is something that we give away every week to community members who are getting involved in cool stuff on tabletop.com. So they might be doing something cool in the forums or something cool in the project system. And this week we're going to kick off with King Thorgrim's Dwarf. I was going to say Dwarf Thong, but it's not quite as interesting as a Dwarf Thong. Images. It's a Dwarf Throng.
Yeah.
This is by Tanath.
Yeah, so this is by Tanath, who has been putting something up in the painting forums. I will point out, this week is basically Oldhammer week, so everything is themed after Oldhammer, so just bear that in mind.
It's Bugman and his Rangers. It's the old miniatures.
So this is an absolutely amazing project that he's been... Well, this isn't a project at the moment. It's only in the forums at this point, but I'd love to see him move it over to the projects and show some of the techniques. That would be really fantastic. Yeah. Anyway... This is him building an army for Warhammer 5th edition, so he can play it with his friends. He's got, as you can see there, the unit of giant and demon slayers there that are leading the way for King Thorgrim from Kazakh Akarak, which is really cool. He's done Bugman's Rangers, as Sam was saying there too. And he's actually pulled miniatures from different ranges as well, so he's actually been painting up the Norse dwarves in that final picture from Warmonger miniatures, which is really neat too. And obviously all of these build together into that kind of old hammer style feeling that we've been seeing popping up and has been quite popular recently as well. We actually talked about this a little bit on the Hobby Hangout this week, where we were looking at some of the projects that some people were doing, and in particular this project too, which was really neat to see. Going back to the whole sort of idea of what he's been doing here, I love the painting for these guys. It's showing off some really nice new techniques mixed in with old models. So, you know, really showing them, bringing the really finer details of these pieces to life. One of the important things about painting any kind of dwarf is obviously that the beard takes up most of his body.
Yep.
And there is some absolutely impressive painting going to the beards, especially when you look at the Bugman's Rangers. If you look particularly at the champion of that unit and Bugman himself, he has done a sterling job doing the nicer sort of mixing and the highlighting there to bring those to the fore. Because as we know with Games Workshop dwarves, they don't have any knees, and most of their body is belly and beard.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Some really fantastic looking models.
Congratulations, Tanath. What a well-deserved golden button there. Next up, we have Piers.
Yeah, so Piers has been delving back into the sort of annals of history with some more Citadel models and things from further afield as well. Now, obviously, Piers does miniatures that are normally from a historical background.
Yeah.
He also enjoys himself a little bit of Oldhammer as well. He was actually one of the people that showed me off towards the Oldhammer forums that exist out there on the internet, which is really cool. But yes, this is him painting a couple of different warbands that he's going to be using in Games of Mordheim and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so leading things off, we've got like the Ostlander Empire troops there, which are really fantastic, moving through to two different Chaos Warband as well. And once again, it's looking at these models that are very old. They're back from the annals of history before sculpting had come on a little ways, as we can see now, but using new techniques and painting them in interesting and different ways. Also, going back to base is not painting them in Goblin Green, And instead going for something a little bit different as well, that was really cool. One of the key models from this sort of set that I wanted to pick out in particular was the Khorne warrior in the armor in the second image there.
Yes.
I loved the way that had been done for that sort of wolf helm with the bronze tip. Mm-hmm. And it almost has this nice golden and almost, not golden, but bloody sheen to it, which I thought was really nice.
Yeah.
So it was really good to see that coming together. And of course, looking beyond the kind of models that you'd normally see in these kind of warbands, and maybe picking out things that maybe you would have seen in the fringes of a Chaos Codex or a Chaos Army book, for example.
Yeah.
That's a lot of strange demons that you would have seen written around the edges of the Mordheim rulebook and stuff, which is really cool. So, yeah, another little fantastic project showing off some really nice stuff. Mm. And one of the big things about what Piers does as well is he actually has amazing photography. So if you want to learn a bit more about sort of taking pictures of models, go and check out what Piers does, maybe ask him some questions, and he'll be able to fill you in on some of the ways that he gets them looking as good as he does here.
Absolutely. So. And then sticking with our final one of the theme of Oldhammer, it's time for some Rogue Trader. We've got the Crimson Fists here by Curis.
Yeah, so this is going back in time to not just Warhammer Fantasy, but also Warhammer 40,000.
Wow.
And painting up some old school, really old school Crimson Fist, as you can see here, back when proportions didn't really matter.
When have they ever?
I suppose that's true in this heroic age we're in. But these are absolutely fantastic looking models here. Once again, going with some really amazing paint schemes. I love all the freehand work that's gone into these models as well. Adding that next level of character that we like to see in Space Marines, because they could very, very easily turn into like this faceless mass of armor and skulls, basically. But it's been really good seeing him working on the filigree and all that kind of thing, and the sort of writing across the armor and the sort of tenets and oaths that they swore
to themselves. It's a beautiful paint job, isn't it?
Mm. And especially when you see the end of that rocket launcher going for that old school style that we used to see in the White Dwarf magazines, where Space Marines decided it was cool to paint flames on the end of their rocket launcher.
Yeah.
But some really cool looking stuff here from Curis. Once again, really fantastic photography showing off what he can do here as well. And go and dive into his project in a little bit more detail. You'll see some more of the stuff he's been working on. It's not just Rogue Trader. He's also been working on some old Hammer stuff as well, which is really cool. And obviously over in the forums too. So yeah, another amazing little old Hammer project. And a challenge that, again, Justin was talking about on the Hobby Hangout this weekend too, where he was saying, maybe go back into your sort of, you know, those annals of history and go back into those shoeboxes you've maybe got, you know, stored in the attic somewhere. Get out one of those old Hammer models, strip the paint off it that's probably like four layers thick.
Yeah.
Have another go. See what it looks like. That could be a really interesting.
And the
challenge.
Old stuff strips because it's all metal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's very power spray and you're done.
I have an entire Dwarf Slayer army from back when the Storm of Chaos World campaign was done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really want to dig it out now. I had all the characters. This makes me want to go and find those models again.
There's something really charming about the sculpts from that era. Mm-hmm. It really is.
But it's seeing those new techniques being laid down on them. The difference in paint and skill for everybody these days is so much different from back then.
It's just a lot easier to do these days. Well, congratulations to all of our Golden Button winners. It is absolutely our favorite part of the week to have a look through and dish out the golden buttons. It's brilliant. Okay, news. Ben, I want to kick off with a bit of Reichbusters.
Yeah, so we saw a couple of previews for this a couple of months ago now. This is the new game that's coming out from Mythic, who are obviously going to be talking with next week as well. So we'll show off this game in a little bit more detail. We can actually say now that the Kickstarter is going to be launching later in November on the 20th. So watch out for that, which is really cool. And we actually got some more details on the game itself. Now, this game is going to be entirely cooperative. It's going to be for 1 to 4 players. So you can either play it solo or you can play it with a group of friends. And you're going to be playing as a ragtag bunch of allied soldiers going out into the field to try and stop the goddamn Nazis destroy all of their real experiments before they can get too dangerous.
Yeah.
And they can take over the army and sort of win the war for the Germans, which is really cool. One of the really interesting things about this game is that there's a whole bunch of different sort of setup steps before the game begins. So you'll choose your characters, which is obviously very important. Mm-hmm. Always choose the big British guy with the two guns. That's a really cool one. Or the Russian sniper. I know people like the Russian sniper. But anyway, then you'll pick their loadouts and stuff like that based on the missions you're going to be attempting. Then we get a really cool sort of almost XCOM style start to scenarios. Now, all the different scenarios are going to be either be played out in campaigns, which is really cool, or singularly as what's called a raid. But when you go and pick up one of these scenarios and get stuck into it, you'll actually start off in what kind of like a stealth mode, and you'll be sneaking around into these facilities trying to get into place to launch your final ambush and let all the guns go blazing, which is really cool. So there's almost this element of sneaking around, killing a couple of sentries, taking up positions, getting the sniper into the right spot, and then all hell breaks loose. guns and bullets are flying everywhere, blood is splattering up the walls, you'll be fighting monsters from all over the place, normal German soldiers, crazy people stuffed into weird mech suits and all kind of things like that. I will actually point out the sort of gameplay map that you can see, that sort of tile layout that they've got there,
yeah,
that is being changed in the version they're sort of working towards for the final version. It's actually going to be done in sort of areas, a little bit more like Conan or Mythic Battles, rather than this kind of grid structure that you see there. Mm-hmm. But this just sounds awesome. I love the idea of playing as like these Allied soldiers, getting a little bit Wolfenstein in XCOM, going in there to take on the Nazi scientists and the Nazi experiments and stuff. The gameplay hopefully will be really awesome. We'll learn a little bit more about that next week. But one of the really cool things about this, from what we do know so far, is that as well as obviously the whole sort of like dice-based action and things like that, there's also going to be a little card-based play in there as well, which is really cool. There's an interesting thing, mechanic called heroics. So obviously when you're playing as big, awesome heroes from Hollywood movies, you're going to have something that can sort of make you stand out. So as well as being able to do really awesome moves that are kind of unique to your character, you also have what's called heroics, which you can spend to reroll dice and sort of get that sort of one up, save another character from dying and all that kind of thing as well, which is really cool. So it sounded like it's going to be a little bit of a blockbuster thing. We actually had Red Ben in the comments talking about some of the stuff they're doing sort of in the run up to the Kickstarter. It's going to be a little bit more of a lower price point than a lot of their stuff they've done before, which is kind of cool. Not this kind of huge, massive plastic they're also like used to seeing with a lot of Kickstarters now too, which is kind of neat. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the campaign comes together and what we learn at Essen next year, next week as well. So yeah, looking forward to this one. Might be on my watch list, I think. So we'll see.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that one. We're hoping to get the Mythic guys over into the studio as well, because I am desperate to play this game. Mm-hmm. I want to get it. You know, I'm totally into historical accuracy.
Of course, yes.
I'm totally going to put this game to the test.
Axe Wolf is back.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we have Black Powder 2nd Edition is out, and we have an introduction to Black Powder with Rick Priestley.
Yeah, so the guys at Warlord Games have put together a little video with the one and only Rick Priestley. Now, obviously, we talked about this a little bit last week, where we showed off the new starter set that was coming out for Black Powder 2nd Edition, which has that awesome-looking Waterloo set in there, which is absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. Loads of really cool plastic and metal miniatures in there, too.
But here, the miniatures are lovely, but the book is insanely beautiful.
The book is fantastic. But yeah, and also now, Warlord Games have put together their own sort of introductory video that you can use with your starter set, you know, set out before you. Yeah. Or if you want to just read, you know, watch it before you get stuck into the game yourself. Talking about some of the different basics you can get into for Black Powder, what you need to know about movement, shooting, and that kind of thing as well, and sort of give you a little bit more of a primer for the world, because Napoleonic wargaming and sort of wargaming from that kind of Black Powder era can be kind of confusing and a little bit dominating. So it'll be really interesting to see sort of this window into the hobby and sort of get you used to the rules that are a little bit different from your kind of like normal sci-fi and fantasy games that you might be playing. But yeah, looks really cool, and it was really nice to see Rick Priestley on the screen showing off everything that he's put together into this rule book and sort of how it all came together, which was really cool.
Yes, fantastic. Next up, we have one that I am jumping up and down about, because it's a franchise that I have loved since I was a child, and then fell in love with again as an adult.
Yeah. My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, the roleplay.
How did you know? It's Battlestar Galactica. Wow. Check this out.
Yeah, so this is Ares Games, who have been working on this for quite a while now. We actually had a couple of teasers about it at the UK Games Expo before then. A lot of rumours circling around at Salute as well, which is really cool. But Ares Games are going to be bringing out a pre-release for this next week at Essen, and then further on from that, there'll be releases very shortly after, where you can actually get your hands on the start set for the game, which will include two Vipers and two Raiders, as well as all the other sort of things you need to play the game. One of the cool things about this is that this is all based on the sort of Reimagined series that a lot of people will know from, that basically took over television way before Game of Thrones was a big thing. But they're also going to be working on some classic ships as well. So if you are a lover of the old style of Battlestar Galactica, they are going to be doing that, so don't worry about that. It's all going to be based on a lot of the stuff they've learned from the likes of Wings of Glory and sort of the what they've been doing with all their sort of playing games, both in World War One and World War Two. They're going to be taking that into space and sort of really going to town on showing off the mechanics of how you'd imagine these fighters to be sort of playing out on the TV and in the movies, and well, not the movies, but the TV and stuff. So you're going to be having a lot of stuff to do with sort of like the way that the sort of gravity works and sort of flipping the ships around and firing while you're going backwards and that kind of thing too, which is really cool. Included in the box set, you're going to get a sort of a quick start guide, So it'll be a way for you to sort of get started really, really easily with the, all the different ships, which I should point out are all pre-painted. So bear that in mind. And also they're going to have then advanced rules for you to sort of take things to the next level, throw in some sort of named pilots. Like you're going to be able to use Apollo straight out of the start set, which is really cool for the humans there from Battlestar Galactica. But yeah, it should be really interesting to see what they do. One of the things that's actually come up in the comments about this is that where do they take this next? Because obviously we see a lot of fighting between Raiders and Vipers sort of all the time in Battlestar Galactica, but where are they going to go after this? They're obviously going to include heavy raiders, which would be a big thing. Sort of maybe see Vipers with different loadouts, which would be really cool. Are we going to see them going up to slightly bigger scales, perhaps, with other ships and doing something different with the system?
Could well, be kind of you cool. might get some of the Colonial Raptors.
Well, now, here's the thing. I remember I got to get a quick look at this at Gen Con, and I can't quite remember what was talked about in this, but I think he did mention coming out with a full-scale Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, God.
Well, that would be really cool.
Is that not going to be, like, huge?
No, huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, the they had a mat laid out with...
Huge. You know, get it out of your system this week, Justin. This is the week to do it. I am going to be Adama, okay? You can be Apollo,
okay?
Ben, you can be Starbuck. Okay.
I like Starbuck.
Why do I have to be the Daggett?
So. You can be Daggett. Yes.
I'm not fuzzy enough.
You'd make a perfect Daggett, okay? And so it's a. But obviously, I'm carrying too much weight to be an Apollo or a Starbuck, you know. So I'll be an Adama. So yeah. So, but I think you'll make a perfect Daggett. It'll be great.
Just as long as I'm not having to be Baltar, I hate that guy.
Oh, I am excited about this. And do you know what?
I don't know anything about
it. It doesn't
this.
Actually matter for me so much where they go with it. I'm more interested in does the game scale up? So can we have a way of having more Vipers versus more Cylons?
You just want to have that nice big wave after wave.
Just love the idea of lots going on rather than a smaller scale game where you're just waiting for new different kinds of loadouts. You know, I don't think every game necessarily has to have lots of new different stuff coming down the pipeline. Not all the time. Sometimes it's enough if a game just works on scaling up. You know, we don't need them to introduce new factions or anything like that. It's Battlestar Galactica. And does it come pre-painted?
Yeah, it all comes pre-painted. All the ships come pre-painted.
Man, it's going to be the
scenarios. I wonder what kinds of scenarios they can run with these ships, and if they're bringing out a Galactica, can you have like the ones where you're maybe running a campaign, running low on fuel, running low on water, having to try and hunt it down, make jump after jump to try and escape the Cylons.
Yeah, as I said, even if the Battlestar Galactica model itself isn't until way down the line, at Gen Con they did have a mat laid out where. Galactica was printed on one end of it.
Yeah.
So I can see there definitely being like escort and defense missions being a big part of it.
Yeah. Oh, well, could they do a Cylon base star? I would love to see that as a mini.
One of the interesting things for me actually is sort of how they're going to potentially work in the idea of what the Cylons do behind the scenes, because obviously one of the big things in the series is that the Cylons could be amongst you at any time.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to have some ways for you to have betrayals in there as well, where the pilots turn on the people, which are pretty cool.
Wouldn't that be amazing if you were able to have a card or something like that meant you took over a Viper because you had a Cylon in it all the time?
I have to say, the only Battlestar Galactica I've tried to get into a couple of times, never really succeeded, but I've watched
to
more
who?
Battlestar Galactica.
I've
tried to get
I
into
misheard.
It
yeah
a couple of times, but the one I've watched more of was the original series.
Yes.
So when
you're
Ben,
missing out, man.
Yeah,
the original
I know.
Series is good, but I've got to say the new series is top notch.
I know it's just
it's
never
the
clicked.
Ending that killed it,
but
the,
I don't care about the ending.
When Ben said about how the Cylons could be among us, I just imagine one of the original series warriors in like a hat and coat. Is it you?
Well, Battlestar Galactica, we will try to bring you more on that. Guys, come on, can I set you a challenge of getting me a demo game of that filmed while you're at Essen?
We can certainly try.
Yeah, let's do that so we can see what that's like. Okay, finally, we have the Infinity Third Offensive expansion, Ben.
Yeah, so this is the new sort of campaign book, expansion book that's out from Corvus Belli for Infinity. It's available now for pre-order up until sort of, I think it's the early start of November, which is not too far away now when you think about it. This is going to be sort of taking things a little bit further in the narrative. We had a lot of people talking about it in the comments and sort of talking about where they want to take things next. One of the interesting things about this is that you get a sort of free exclusive miniature with this if you pre-order during this sort of early period here, which is the Libertos Freedom Fighter. And while people would love to see this included in sort of other factions in different ways, hopefully we'll see them get flashed out into a new faction, which could be kind of cool.
Oh, that would be cool.
One of the other things that was really interesting is that Lug 45 actually said this in the comments for this particular news piece, was that in the Ariadna picture that he spied looking through the book, sort of like the teasers and stuff, he saw a Line Kazakh mounted on the back of a vehicle with a 50 cal.
Yeah.
And you know how we were talking about sort of the way that games could upscale and sort of add vehicles into the mix? Mm-hmm. Maybe in the near future we could see Infinity looking towards vehicles. That could be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
It could be good.
That would be
but
cool.
But yeah, this is just another sort of addition to the world of Infinity that Corvus Belli have been doing. As I say, adding to the narrative, building on it, sort of, you know, fleshing things out as the story continues. And so doing a lot of things with the older factions and the newer factions to sort of bring them up to speed with everything else as well, which is really cool. So if you're a big fan of Infinity, make sure to check things out. Obviously, we'll have a little bit more on this later on as well, as we start to learn a bit more about the book, which would be really cool too. Yeah. So, yeah, check this one out, The Third Offensive. The pre-orders are up now if you want to get your hands on that special miniature too.
Fantastic. Right, one of the things that we do here at Beast of War as a community is we want to support small companies as well. Mm-hmm. So we have a real commitment to trying our best as a community to support the smaller developers. Mm-hmm. We were fortunate this past week that we actually got the team from Sally Forth in, who have a game on Kickstarter at the moment, which is it's hilarious. It's raging mad bunnies of death in the future.
Shall I try and explain this one?
Yes, tell me all about Albedo. Albedo.
Yeah, it's Albedo Combat Patrol.
Albedo Combat Patrol.
So it's an anthropomorphic combat game. So you are going to be playing sort of humanized bunnies and hares on one side.
With big pointy teeth.
And then on the other side, you've got dogs, cats, foxes. I think there's like...
Living together.
All getting into a bit of a war. It's based on an old comic book series, which is fully available online. But what I wanted to do this week was actually delve into the history of it a lot more to actually figure out what the hell's going on. What created this world? So,
well, Justin got a chance to sit down with them.
Yep.
And here it is.
Hi, everybody. I'm back with Chris from Sally Forth, and it's time for one of those discussions that I absolutely adore to have with a games creator. So, Chris, it's a question I love asking. What are your hopes and dreams for this game? If wildest fantasy kind of stuff, how far would you love it to go?
Well, I mean, we would love it to be a worldwide phenomena. Mm-hmm. There's sort of, you know, a game that's being played on tables, all across the world. Mm. We've got lots of ideas that there is just so much background material that we can draw on for a game. So one of our ideas is that we'd like to build what we call a dynamic gaming universe. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is really using sort of technology and sort of internet to build a campaign system online where we can have gamers playing games and contributing to development of the storyline and the story arcs. Mm-hmm. So this is something that the sort of the development team have been talking about for the last few months, mm-hmm. and you know, we would design maybe a scenario of the month, mm-hmm. and then gamers would go to sort of download that, play the scenario, everybody across the world sort of feed their results, mm-hmm. into a web-based interface, and that would determine the direction of the narrative campaign and the sort of story that we're building for Albedo going forward. Mm-hmm. We have we would like to get this as a retail release with a sort of box set and supplements, mm-hmm. that we can get into distribution chains and shops and sort of stores across the world. Mm-hmm. And to develop some ambassadors, some sort of key players that are going to put on They're going to put on games in stores and to introduce new players to the to the shared world of Steve's comics and sort of imagination.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I would ask about is, now obviously I'm guessing you're a fan of the series.
Absolutely, I love it. Yes.
Now, have you considered getting the original creator to do maybe a special issue? You know, once the game's up and running, if you're doing those campaigns, having a special issue that maybe comes out like once a year, just does a short run for people who want it.
Right.
Having something like that could just bring the world to life. That would be something I would dream of if I was doing something like this.
Absolutely. And we have spoken to Steve about that. Mm-hmm. And there's sort of two aspects to it. So he's already agreed to do a completely new set of artwork to go into our our campaign source book. And when we sort of talked about the dynamic universe and gamers being involved across the world in the continuing storyline, so that was in that now that was very much our idea, that we would have maybe a year's worth of narrative campaign that gamers' results would actually feed in to drive the results. We would then get our writers to write it up and to pass it on to Steve, and to have an end of year comic that takes the story forward. So that would be absolutely awesome.
Yeah. One thing I would do with that then is, because you would be creating new characters, bringing new characters into it, that would be a perfect chance to give like those champions of the game a bit of a shout out, or someone who's done really well at like a competitive tournament.
You know, yes,
top player in the world. You're now in it as this character forever.
Yeah, well, I hadn't thought about that, but
there are some companies out there, they'll run a tournament and the winner actually gets to work with the company to sculpt a new miniature.
Yes.
It's just getting your own little corner of the world for being a champion of the game, or for doing really well at playing the game, showing your commitment to it, definitely something to look at.
Well, I really like that idea, and we've started doing that in a small way. So on our Facebook group, Mike Wilson, who's working on the source book, has reached out to people who have played the original Albedo role-playing game, which has been around for a while, and asked them to send their character sheets so that their role-playing characters that they've built up and their worlds and their ships can get written into the ongoing storyline.
Nice.
And just taking a step further, competition winners, ambassadors, and that sort of thing, that would be a fantastic way to acknowledge them. Yeah. I like
that's just my brain going off one. I have random good ideas sometimes. You know, it happens.
Yeah. I appreciate that. That is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So we've got a long way to go, because Steve's comic ran for 22 years, and you can read all of them. If you search for Albedo Comics, there is an archive on the web. And in fact, there are 163 different species. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they are. I haven't listed them all, and I'm not sure if that sort of includes subspecies or not, because we've had people writing into us and saying, can you do a head that's like my border collie or like my Labrador or retriever? So I'm not sure whether dog is just one or it's broken down. But no, the potential for this is absolutely huge.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, like, It's a really deep world that you can explore, because it's so vast. I mean, like, you could have something like a little offshoot. Someone can actually get their own story writing on the go. Because one thing I love about some games is I can create my guys. This is my planet, my world.
Yes.
You know, I want the Independent Squirrel Republic.
And who are they going to align with?
I mean, you know, it might turn out a little bit like the Japanese during World War II, going with the
absolutely. So we have sort of spoken about sort of two factions, but there are, I think, as we alluded to earlier, so some planets were settled by sort of confederations and businesses and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That there are space pirates. There are rogue operators. there are commercial interests that have that sort of build up, there's sort of mini security forces to defend themselves. And we have sort of three major intergalactic wars to cover to bring us to the sort of the start of the of the comic strip. So there's a lot of material to go with.
It's nice for people to have that backlog that they can chew through while they're waiting for all the goodies to arrive.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so we've made some of the goodies available up front, so you can start gaming in Albedo sort of straight away. Mm. Now, we said that we've got a lot of different planets, so some of them are hostile, some of them are desert, some of them will be ice world, so we've got that geographical diversity. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that the design team have mentioned to me is that the ACP 164 rules are good from individual squads up to maybe a company level of maybe 80-100 miniatures a game. Mm-hmm. It would be good maybe to do smaller scale figures and larger battles. So we maybe have 10 mil or 15 mil figures mounted on bases and to do large battalion battle group type of games.
That could be interesting to see how those different militaries would actually work against each other at that scale.
It's
something, again, I discovered it recently. Whenever you're going up what one of our guys, our historical editor, calls the levels of wargaming.
Yes.
Is so you start off at your skirmish level, you'll then go up to your squad level, you'll then go up to like the 15 mil level.
Yes.
I played a game against him where it was actually hacks and counter based.
Right.
You suddenly become detached from the unit itself.
Yes.
So you get such an incredible tactical feel for the forces that you're playing.
Yes. Really cool. Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, I love doing the big sort of multi-core Napoleonic games with a big block of miniatures, and it would be great to be able to do a similar. Let's model the whole invasion, multiple land masses, and it's the war isn't just fought on the surface. That there are lots of fleet actions between fleets of starships with their own. Running combat air patrols and drones and AI defenses and that sort of thing. So we could see a Starship Combat game together with a large scale surface action.
Well, there again, same guy, our historical editor actually has a project on the site called Dark Star,
right?
Which is essentially space combat, but it's got the freedom where you could actually build it into this world, and it's a really great rule system. If you get a minute when we're done here, I'll show it to you. It's gorgeous.
That does sound fantastic.
I got to play a game against him recently, and the way he has it designed, it's a little bit old school, so you actually have sheets where you've got all the damage grids of your ships.
Right.
And whenever you're shooting at each other, it feels like you're blowing chunks out of each
other. Right. that is something that we would like to see. I think we sort of talked about sort of Aerodyne fleets, which go from the orbital fleet to take sort of troops and units down onto the ground. Mm-hmm. So obviously that has the potential on a larger scale to do a whole invasion fleet, landing, flying combat air patrols, securing perimeters, and sort of big scale operations.
Very cool.
So yeah, I'd say the world is our oyster, but it's really the whole galaxy. So yeah, it's
galactic domination.
Galactic domination, indeed. So Albedo, we've got a lot that we can do with 28 millimeter, and from skirmish to company level, we've got a wide range of species, races, whatever that we could do. We've got different scales, and then the thing that's funny is there's all sorts of offshoots that that have come up. That when we started doing the project, it was very much we wanted to produce the world's first anthropomorphic sci-fi miniatures game.
Yep.
But then people have written into us when they've seen the figures, and they've asked for conversion kits, and they want to sort of take all this stuff into their existing worlds.
Yeah, well, you've given me some images, and I want to cycle through to a specific one. So if I bring this up for everybody, so we've seen the comic books, they're fabulous. But then we come to this. in the hell did this? What was the Emperor drinking that night? I can imagine him on some good wine, turning to whoever's with him, going, lads, I've got a brilliant idea. This is going to be amazing.
No. You've been indoctrinated. This is the Emperor's greatest secret. You take the helmet off and they're all like this. Yeah, so this was a customer saw some early pictures and he said, I would just love, I think there's a customer called Bob, and he wanted to put a Space Marine chapter together called Springwatch. Okay, so this is
the green grass armor. I didn't realize.
So this is a Springwatch Space Marine in all his glory, and he's put together he's working on a whole company of these guys.
Wow, awesome. So,
yeah.
And so, then you've also done other ones where it's converting for fantasy and World War II as well.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy. We're just really sort of showing what you can do now, so based on what people have asked us. So some of the games that people are doing, Dungeons and Dragons has a race of cat folk. Mm-hmm. And a separate race called Tabaxi. Mm-hmm. So we've had people from some D&D groups saying, can you make these available? Mm-hmm. The Traveller, I don't know, do you remember Traveller?
My time, probably.
I think it's had some more modern versions. But Traveller had a race called Aslan, which were cat-based humanoids. So we've had people asking about that. Gamma World.
Not play that one.
Gamma World. So this came from the makers of D&D, and it's a post-apocalyptic, which I thought was one of your favorites.
I do love my post-apocalypse, but I haven't really looked much at anthropomorphic games just yet, but this is making me want to look a little closer.
Yes. Well, this was, I think it was just one of the many mutations caused by the blast. So they have a race called Hoops, which are giant mutant bunnies. Now, these are... Games Workshop Imperial Guard miniatures, which I guess we've all probably painted some at some point in our gaming career.
Yeah.
And they've been converted to be Felinids. Okay, so Felinids are in the official Games Workshop background, to my understanding. And they're a race of mutant aberrations. So some gamers say sort of burn them, it's heresy. But the Emperor has... welcomed them into his army, but
I'm laying odds that's a penal legion.
A penal legion, possibly, but it's a bit different, isn't it? So, yeah.
Well, you have fun with gaming the way you want to, and having the option to actually just grab different animal heads to actually swap in and actually put into like different characters from role playing games and stuff, or into full forces. Yeah, why not? If it's what you want to do, if it's what your fun is, go for it.
Yeah, well, I say it wasn't something that we planned right at the start. It was very much sort of a new sci-fi genre. Mm. But people have just said, well, it would be great to have a furry Frostgrave warband or burrows and badgers or any of these things. And really, if we produce 163 different species for sci-fi and we make them available as conversion kits...
Yeah.
It's just so easy to do, and I can see a wide diversity of new species coming onto the tabletop.
Well, there's a question for you before we wrap up. What's the one species you want to see on the tabletop, or have you already made it?
Well,
cat or dog person, if you like to keep budgies.
No, I like the dodge. Well, I think that sort of badgers are quite appealing. So I see an EDF badger platoon.
British or American? The British badger looks as if he's going to invite you in for tea, whereas the American one looks like he's about to steal your wallet.
I think it's going to be the British one. It's going to be they're kind of the good guys at the at the end of the day. I don't know if you've picked it up that I'm actually an EDF supporter.
But, I see.
We have guys on the team that are very much sort of batting for the expansionist ILR. But I like the EDF. That's who I'm collecting and gaming.
Very cool. All right, well, everybody, I tell you what, the only question left to ask is which species would you love to see for this game? Are you hoping to see some squirrels? Do you want an army of humanoid chickens? Would you like perhaps to see something more nautical? Would you like to see some amphibians in there, some frog people, some turtle people, things like that? Get those comments in below. We'll move on. We'll see you again another time. Mm.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. I'm Colin from Battle Systems, and you're watching The Weekender at beastsofwar.com.
Okay, so this is very strange for me, seeing a socialist society which has one species splitting off and deciding we're more important, it's time for war.
Yeah.
And going, oh, by the way, we're rabbits and hares, so we breed like crazy, so we need more space than everybody else.
Yes.
Which is why there is war in a world that there has never been war
well,
before.
Well, if you're interested, definitely go and yeah. check it out. And once again, you know, a sincere thanks to everyone in yep. the community for our continued support of small companies. Like, it is something that we do our best on, mm-hmm. and as and when we get the opportunity, we try to bring you a little bit more behind the scenes of what yeah. the smaller startups are working on. So thank you for anyone who goes out of their way to try and support the smaller startups. That's where a lot of the innovation in the industry comes from, and it's good to help them out when we yeah. can.
And I do have a recommendation for everybody. Mm-hmm. If you have a look on the Kickstarter that they're running,
yeah.
they're also doing a terrain range to match
yeah,
in with
the
this.
The terrain is and great.
It is gorgeous. So if we have a quick scroll down through here, I'll show you. So this is some of the old comic book stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This is some of the 3D renders.
Yep.
But if I can get down to it, oh, where is it? No, that's not it. That's it.
Oh, very nice.
Look at this. They're yeah. using a mixture of resin, laser cut HDF, and laser cut perspex.
Yeah.
To actually give you glass building blocks. So, mm-hmm. like modern day style buildings with lots of clear spaces that you can see through and see into.
Yeah.
Like, I actually got to play a game of this, and one of my favorite things was I was looking down on the table, and they had a big, like, perspex panel on the roof. I could see right down in and see the miniatures inside the building. It's so simple and so silly, but it made me happy.
It's a terrain system that would work even for modern
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
They had one set up for one of the Let's Plays, which was a underground subway system,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Cool. Subway station. I just really loved how that looked on the mm-hmm. table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, there you can see on the side, they've also got some mirrored panels in here, like solar panels.
Yeah.
And it's a gorgeous terrain system. I'm really excited to see just what you could build with that.
Yeah. By all means, go and check it out. It's on Kickstarter. It's got a little while to go yet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next up, Kickstarters. Ben, we have a couple of Kickstarters we're looking at this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the first one is from the guys at Crooked Dice, who always do absolutely fantastic stuff. And this is them with their 7TV Apocalypse range, which is now on Kickstarter right now.
Mm-hmm.
As you'll know about 7TV, we've talked about it a little bit in the past. It's all about effectively playing out those TV shows from sort of like the 70s and the 80s
yeah.
and some in the early 90s on the tabletop. And now they're taking things to the apocalyptic future, however you might want to envisage that,
yeah.
with a new start set, which comes with all the different sort of bells and whistles you need to get started in this. You've got the new rules, you've got accessories, you've got unit cards, you've got rules for vehicles, you've got rules for vehicular combat, you've got rules for all kinds of different sites of types of casts as well. As I said, one of the big things about this is, and 7TV as a whole, is that effectively it's a sandbox and you can do things however you want. So they've looked at apocalypses that include crazy fungi people that have been taken over from aliens from outer space. They've got Mad Maxian crews that are sort of riding around in the deserts. You've got people in like British clothing from when everything turned to ash. And so there's loads of really funny gentlemen walking around beating each other up with walking sticks and all kind of things like that. They've got mutants. They've got practically everything you could ever want.
Yeah.
They've done some amazing stuff with the characters for this one. And as I say, 7TV has been a really sort of underground hit. It's a little bit like one of those games, a little bit like Bushido, that seems to have a very, very loyal following, a very, very passionate following.
Yeah.
But it's not something that tends to sort of pop up at clubs too often. But you know that there's a lot of people out there that are playing the game.
Yeah.
And it's one game that I think we'd actually like to look into a bit more, which should be kind of cool.
Absolutely.
But especially to get into some of the stuff that's sort of tied into the Mad Maxian side of things, I think that could be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I have played a game of 7TV and it mm-hmm. is a lot of fun. I love how they integrate the feeling of it being a TV show into it with the mm-hmm. card system.
Yeah.
Yeah, wobbly scenery and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to actually point out as well, that's sort of like quite a cool thing for me as part of this Kickstarter, is that they're actually working towards a whole bunch of new modular vehicles, because obviously I was talking about the fact that they've got vehicle rules in this game, sort of playing out those kind of like clashes like Mad Max has on the sand and stuff. And so as well as having some modular cars that you can sort of bolt together and add things onto as you like in 28mm, hopefully they're going to be sort of adding a little bit more into this and starting to create bigger vehicles. They've already been working on things like sort of dune buggies, which have been out for a while on their web store as well, which is really cool. So yeah, it'd be really nice to see what they do with vehicular combat and sort of providing another option for people that maybe have played things like Gaslands or now play Speed Freaks as well, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, so, fantastic.
Very, very cool. Oh wait, sorry, I just spotted the bandit. That is Dick Dastardly, isn't it?
Yeah. That is Dick Dastardly. But where's the Muttley?
So it's 17 days left, Ben.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, just in with that campaign, talking about sort of like crooked dice in general, if there's a character from popular sort of movies or TV that you've ever really liked and thought that would be nice to see a miniature of, they probably have it in some way.
Yeah, I saw one guy there. He kind of looks a little bit humongous.
Yes, just a bit.
Yeah.
So go and check it out. 17 days left. Next up, we have a Valhalla the Card Game. This is by Go On Board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a game that's just recently popped onto Kickstarter. You're seeing the draft page at the moment, but they are actually live on Kickstarter right now at the time of this show going out. The game is for 1-6 players, so again, it can be played as a solo experience, and it's one that's very, very quick and actually easy to get stuck into. You're going to be playing as a Jarl, or you'll choose your Jarl character, mm-hmm. and then you'll also choose a team of Vikings or a team of Vikings and also sometimes some sort of mythical sort of warriors in the mix as well, fighting it out to become the greatest champions and get your guys sent off to Valhalla and reap the glory that comes with that as well. It's kind of a little bit of an interesting mix between sort of dice placement and kind of wargamey stuff at the same time, which is really cool. So you're going to be having a whole bunch of sort of custom dice that you'll roll and you'll assign them to your characters, and then you'll be choosing when to activate them, when to use them in combats. When you fight in combats, you'll see who's the winner, and if you're the winner of these combats, you'll get sent off to Valhalla to earn extra points and stuff as well, which is really cool. One of the nice things about this as well is that this has already existed as a previous version. I believe it was in a different language. I think it was Polish. That was the one, yeah. But this is the first time they're actually going to be seeing the English version of the game out through this Kickstarter, as well as one of the expansions that came out for this as well. The other cool thing about this is that, as I said, this was 1-6 players, so this can be played as a solo mode. And in the solo mode, you get to play as a Jarl and his warband fighting against the mythical creatures from Norse mythology, which is really cool.
Nice. Yeah.
So yeah, this game has a very, very high production quality. It's already done really well in its pre-existing version in Polish, so it'll be really nice to see how things go with this new Kickstarter. And I believe I've actually had a video up on the site this week about this as well, so learn a bit more about it. You can go and check that out too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got the chance to have a quick Skype interview with Wukash, the author of the game. Mm-hmm. He's very passionate for the project, definitely knows his stuff, and the art is beautiful. We do have a set in the studio. I unboxed it during the interview. I want all of this art as posters.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go and check out Valhalla the Card Game. That about wraps us up. Okay, competition-wise, last week we were giving away 2 Kill Team Commanders expansions. Remember, if you want to keep track of prizes, you can come across to beastsofwar.com or on tabletop.com, click on more, then click on claim a prize, and make sure you're logged in, and that will take you through to the prize center. And in the prize center, we actually list out all of the prizes and who has won it. Mm-hmm. So you can go back over that and you can see Gen Con prizes and prizes from the last few weeks. Remember, you have 30 days to claim your prize. So once that's passed, it's passed. So please do get in there, check and see if you are a winner, and who knows? You could be.
I was also going to say, if you've got a friend who you notice has won something within those 30 days, also tell them.
Tell them.
Yes.
They might give you some of that stuff.
Finder's fee.
So come across and check out. We have the winners in there for the Kill Team Commanders expansion. Mm-hmm. This week, remember, to be in with a chance of winning Speed Freaks, all you have to do is comment on this video, smash that like button, hit subscribe, ding the dong, and if you can, do us a favor and share the video, because YouTube are doing everything they can to suppress us. You mentioned WAR and you just don't. And remember, tomorrow you can come across and join us over at beastsofwar.com or tabletop.com. I'm gonna have to pick one and stick to it very soon, where the backstage video is. And tomorrow we're going to be discussing the best hobby store in the world.
Ooh.
See you then. Take care, guys. Have a great week of gaming. Go ahead and check out our other content on screen now, and be sure to check out beastsofwar.com for the latest gaming news and gaming Let's Plays. And while you're at it, why not hit subscribe and remember to ding our dong. Go on, you know you want to click it. Go on.